This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Today marks 25 years since the attacks on September 11th, 2001, and today we're taking a look back at the events of that day and the lasting impact. That and more is coming up, plus the latest installment of Bird Song Break. I'm Sabrina Garone. Twenty-five years after the attack on the World Trade Center, the Remembering 9/11 History Project both preserves the history of those who responded to Ground Zero and is a tool that informs medical professionals on what to do after a disaster. WSHU's Terry Sheridan has more.
Dr. Benjamin Luft runs the Stony Brook World Trade Center Health and Wellness Program. He says as he examined and treated thousands of 9/11 responders, they started to share their remembrances. Hearing what they went through was key to treating them.
You had to understand what their diseases are, or what was troubling them, not only psychologically, but physically. You had to listen to them. You had to hear their stories, and they basically taught us.
Dr. Luft says he realized their stories were important to save as history and for medical professionals to learn how to care for those who witness a disaster. More than 480 responder videos are now available on the Library of Congress website. Terry Sheridan, WSHU News.
Health experts are still studying the long-term effects of 9/11. Some warn that many survivors are being unfairly left out of those studies. WSHU's Stephen Ospina Delgado has more.
Denise Harrison is the medical director of the World Trade Center Health Program Clinical Center of Excellence. She says part of the World Trade Center Health Program's mission is to better understand long-term health effects on everyone after 9/11 in order to push for more inclusive responses in future disasters.
Vulnerability and inequality shape outcomes. Not everyone experienced the disaster equally. Access to care, occupational role, socioeconomic status, language barriers influence who was exposed and who received follow-up.
The program is already taking steps toward equity-focused responses. Its studies have broadened to include other survivors, like local workers, students, and residents exposed to the toxic dust. Stephen Ospina Delgado, WSHU News.
9/11 first responders will have more time to apply for certain benefits in New York. That's thanks to three bills Governor Kathy Hochul signed into law this week.
This is a small token of our appreciation to show that we'll continue to do everything we can to fight for the health of those who went into the fire, came out, and are now subjected to illnesses.
The legislation extends a handful of deadlines and eligibility periods for those who assisted in the World Trade Center cleanup, including first responders and National Guard members. Many of those deadlines had been set to expire today. Those looking to file for retirement, disability, or workers' comp benefits will now have until 2030 to file the required paperwork. The New York State Museum houses the largest collection of artifacts and objects related to 9/11. That story and more are coming up. Stay here. New York environmental officials say a fire suppression system at a battery plant has contaminated the groundwater in East Hampton. The State Department of Environmental Conservation says it's working on a solution and will let people know what's going on later in the fall. The plant will remain open until further investigation. Bus drivers in Bridgeport are protesting tighter limits on where they can park. Last month, the city started fining bus drivers $250 or towing their buses for parking on the street during their lunch break or other downtime. Drivers at a city council meeting this week said there aren't enough parking spaces in town for them to use. A marijuana retailer in Riverhead is suing the town over its cannabis zoning code. He says his license was unfairly denied over the town's zoning code, which blocks marijuana retailers from opening up shop too close to each other. The town of Riverhead has denied any wrongdoing and says the case is premature. The New York State News. Museum houses the largest collection of artifacts and objects related to 9/11. Part of its collection is on display in its permanent exhibit, which opened just a few months after September 2001. The museum is marking the 25th anniversary of 9/11 with a new exhibit this year. The New York Public News Network's Miriam Emmud spoke to the curators and one photojournalist who was there that day.
It was unreal. It was unbelievable. The idea that somebody could fly two planes into two different buildings. Of course, I had no idea about the Pentagon, no idea about Shanksville. All I knew is that it really seemed to be an intentional act of terrorism. And that made it all surreal. Looking through the camera lens made it seem unreal. Just had to take a deep breath, literally focus on capturing what was happening.
David Hanshew was sitting in traffic on Wall Street on September 11th, 2001, when he heard on the police scanner that a plane had just hit the World Trade Center. He was a photojournalist for the New York Daily News and was also teaching photography at New York University. As soon as he heard the sirens from Rescue Company 1, a fire truck, he followed them straight to the World Trade Center.
They're pulling out tools. They're getting ready to go rescue people and save lives. And they're waving out the back door of the fire truck to me. These are firefighters that I've covered for decades, performing heroics all around the city of New York. They recognize me. I recognize them and just follow them right down to the Trade Center. Unfortunately, all 11 firefighters on Rescue 1 that morning lost their life at the Trade Center.
Hanshew was there at the World Trade Center along with fellow photographer Todd Mazel. Hanshew was injured and buried under debris from the South Tower. He was found by firefighters from Engine 217, who removed the debris from above him, but then went on to search for their fellow firefighters.
Two other firefighters picked me up and started carrying me back towards Battery Park City. And that's the photograph, one of the photographs that Todd Mazel has, is me being carried actually by a paramedic, a police officer, and a firefighter.
Hanshew's and Mazel's photos from that day are part of a new exhibit at the New York State Museum marking the 25th anniversary of 9/11. The exhibit, Witness to 9/11, is made up of pictures selected by the two photographers and the museum's curators to provide a perspective of that day from people on the ground. Senior historian Aaron Noble walked me through the exhibit at the New York State Museum.
So as you move into the aftermath section of the exhibit, there is a photo of David Hanshew actually being carried by a police officer and firefighters after he is pulled from the rubble. Todd actually turned around and took the photo. But what's so incredible is that also in this section, kind of the main blow-up photo on the aftermath panel is a photo that David took after he had been pulled from the rubble, had been carried a short distance away. They had to set him down to do something else, and he continued to take pictures. And so this is so the angle of the photo is low because it's him laying on the ground and continuing to do his job, even in the midst of everything he was experiencing.
The exhibit is divided into four sections: evacuation, aftermath, rescue, and grief. Noble says the final section was to acknowledge the deep impact 9/11 had on victims and their families, on that day and 25 years later.
This is a story that keeps going. We are still losing people to the effects of this attack. And we're still, as a nation and as individual New Yorkers, figuring out how to deal with the grief that we're continuing. So we wanted it to be a little bit more open-ended in terms of how we were approaching that story.
While the Witness to 9/11 exhibit is new, the State Museum has had a permanent exhibit since early 2002, just months after the day.
So you are in the permanent 9/11 gallery at the New York State Museum. It opened in 2002, shortly after the events of 9/11.
Director of Exhibitions Carrie Ross was working at the museum on 9/11. She was one of several curators who retrieved objects from the Fresh Kills Recovery Facility in Staten Island, where NYPD and FBI staff were searching for remains through the debris from the World Trade Center.
At Fresh Kills, what you really had there was dedication. They worked pretty much 24 hours a day. They didn't want to stop. They were searching for human remains or personal objects or the black boxes. It was really important to try and find those. They never did. But it was like its own community there. They had, you know, people, volunteers coming and feeding them. It was really emotional to see that kind of dedication of other first responders. And, you know, I'm glad I don't ever have to go back.
Ross says the State Museum was unique in its quick reaction to the event. At the center of the room with the permanent exhibit sits Fire Engine 6, whose team was one of the first to respond. Firefighter Billy Green was the only survivor.
So when we opened this exhibit, we had many people from Engine 6, FDNY, New York Police Department here. It was very, very emotional for them. As Aaron was touching on, it wasn't something, you know, museums were doing, collecting things as they're happening. So, and if you look at the front of the fire engine, you'll see all the tributes from the families. It's been emotional over the last 25 years. People still come in.
A quarter century later, the museum continues to update its collection. It also loans artifacts to museums across the country. Hanshu says Witness to 9/11, which he and Maisel began working on in December 2025, along with the museum's curators, seeks to tell the story from the perspective of the people who ran to the towers to document what was happening, for people to see today.
There are photographers, reporters who are on the scene who are dealing with every single health effect that rescue workers are dealing with, and that the desire to record history that day and to tell the truth overwhelmed the fear of personal injury for these journalists who went alongside, in front of, and right behind firefighters, paramedics, and police officers.
For the New York Public News Network, I'm Mariam Ahmed.
This is WSHU's Bird Song Break, and this week it's the official state bird of New York, the Eastern Bluebird. With blue wings and a red breast, these songbirds can be seen in our region year-round, and their numbers are improving thanks to man-made nesting boxes. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break featuring the Eastern Bluebird. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Visit WSHU.org for more. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio with our free app at WSHU.org. And of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you for being with me today. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll speak to you on Monday.